covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Come on, man. I thought we were done with Vegas and the cheapy homers. I thought we were done with this. Hey, same ballpark for everybody. Brewers can hit it in that direction, too. Brewers fall today 4-3 on a walk-off two-run homer from Ozzie Albies that left the bat at 94 miles an hour. What can he do? 339 feet away. The other one was 367 feet away. Both of them cleared the wall by, you know, a single yardstick. And, hey, that's the difference of the game. It's a game of inches. Brewers fall 4-3. It's a two-homer game for Ozzie Albies. He's the entire offense for the Braves pretty much in this game. And Trevor McGill had the eighth instead of the ninth. Aaron Ashby gave up a bloop in the blast, and that's all she wrote. The Brewers lose a series, and they have lost four games in a row for the first time, lost three games in a row for the first time since April. So, frustrating day. We'll open with the bullpen decisions, but with Jerry Augustine, I'm Dom Catronio. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620. Yeah, Augie, Just opening thoughts on this one, because it's a frustrating day, of course, but nonetheless, the Brewers were three outs away from winning this game, and it was would have been a really high-quality win, and now it's one of the more frustrating losses of the season.
Yeah, you get those games like that. You know, when you have two quality teams going at it, two great pitching performances like you do, it comes up, sometimes it comes up a game of inches, but you know, you look at the game, you look at the pitches, you look at how the Brewers made the moves up out of the bullpen, all the things that they did during the ball game, and you say, well, you got Ashby out there making a quality pitch after he had pitched, thrown the ball in on Albies one time when we went down and away, a pitch that you can't say, I don't think that was a good pitch. It was a good pitch. Albies just came up, got the ball up in the air, hit the ball in the ballpark in the name of the game, and those happen. They happen. Sometimes you question yourself, but sometimes you make the good pitches and the wrong things happen. And that today was one of those days where it was Albies' day. He hit the two home runs. He was the scoring for the Atlanta Braves, and it was the deciding factor in the ball game.
And it's a reminder that Albies is better from the right side. This is his better side as a switch hitter. More of his power comes from this side. He has better bat speed from this side. So you're playing with fire all day long. Now, the first at bat for the first homer, I should say, for Albies came on an 0-2 pitch from Kyle Harrison on a heater that wasn't elevated enough, right? I think that two schools of thought, somebody was tweeting me and putting this in the chat too. It's like, well, what's up with the pitch selection there? On the Kyle Harrison front, that's his best pitch. The fastball is Kyle Harrison's best pitch. If he elevated that more, I think it's a different result. Second of all, on the Ashby result, that's the mistake, I think, on the pitch call. Ashby has the right to shake. Contreras should not have called fastball, in my opinion, given he's already hit a homer on a fastball today. He's on his better side. Ashby did, you know, fail to hit his spot. I think Contreras was late showing his target, but nonetheless, that was to, you know, conceal it to the opposing dugout. But it looked like he wanted to front hip that off of Albies, right? He wanted to get in his kitchen there, and he missed it over the middle of the plate, and Albies backspins it out to right field. And with two strikes, Ashby's best pitch is his slider, right? It's his curveball. It's not his sinker. I thought that was a mistake pitch to call there. But to look at that inning and to give you what Murph said postgame and to reiterate, we'll play it later on in the program, but right here off the top, Augie, he said that's exactly the situation I wanted to play it. If that window of the order came up in the seventh inning, Ashby was going to pitch there. So this is part of the game planning meetings where you find windows for each guy that's available in what they call who's in the hot tub, who's hot for the day. So Uribe, Ashby, and McGill were all hot today, available to pitch in leverage in this game. And you get the lineup from the other side, knowing that you've set it up with the lefty Kyle Harrison starting the game and how they set up their lineup, where can they go with pinch hitters, that sort of thing, and all that stuff. And they said, okay, that's going to be Ashby's window. But I think that's the first flaw of logic to me, because first of all, the Braves are one of the best teams in baseball at hitting lefties from their lefties. Drake Baldwin was held down today 0-for-4. Matt Olson's still in the top 10 in OPS as a left-handed hitter against left-handed pitching. And then furthermore, Michael Harris is not really a drop off against lefties. They have the most wins against left-handed starters in baseball. This is nothing new to their lefties and why they've had so much success. And it's also, to finish this rant here real quick, it's not like Trevor McGill is completely vulnerable against left-handed pitching this season. Just giving you the numbers, against lefties, it's 49 plate appearances, a 163 batting average, and a 420 OPS against. So in my opinion, Augie, I would have flip-flopped it, or maybe even had a window for Chad Patrick there against the bottom of the order there in the eighth inning, and then still give it to McGill for the ninth inning, because there is nothing in these numbers that suggests that McGill can't handle lefties.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple ways you could have gone there. But I think one thing they looked at the matchups, and they wanted certain matchups where they wanted Ashby against a certain group of guys, and they wanted the work with Uribe and McGill. I don't mind the way they went about it. I thought it was a good way to go about it. You look at the Atlanta Braves. You just said the way they swing the bat. This is a team that offensively swings the bat good against left-hand pitching, number one. And number two, they're one of the best teams in baseball on comebacks. They come back. There's a team that can put runs on the board. They battle you for nine innings, a lot like the Brewer offense does. And I think that the Brewers just felt that the matchup was the best. The one thing on that pitch is, I think you were correct, is they had thrown Albies a fastball in there, hit a line drive. I think it might have been a changeup, hit a line drive in stands, and I think he wanted to go get back in there on him. I think when you look at Albies, the way he swings, the way he stands to plate, he has really good plate coverage. That's what happened on the first home run off of Harrison. Great pitch coverage. Ball wasn't up where he probably wanted it, but he had good plate coverage and was willing to go the opposite way. And the pitch with Ashby in the ninth inning, the same thing. I think they wanted to go in, get him back on the inside part of the plate. That opens you up for a good breaking ball. I just think that what right there, Aaron got the ball in a bad spot, and Albies put a really good swing on it.
I think that for Ashby right now too, it's worth pointing out he has not had a great month of June. Right, he has now allowed at least a run in 5 out of 8 appearances this month, and to have him get the ninth inning against one of the best offenses in baseball alone, regardless if McGill was available or not, or the left on left and all that stuff that we just gave you. I mean, you could argue of the bullpen right now, he's been the least consistent this month. Now, I know Chad had those two blow up outings, one in Vegas and one at home against the Phils, but he rebounded the other day in the finale the middle game against the Guardians. Again, the Brewers are in this tough spot with their leverage bullpen right now, where they had the blip early in the year from McGill. Then they handed it to Uribe. Then he had a blip, and McGill seemed to have it back. And in my opinion, it's kind of like quarterbacks. If you say you have three closers, you really have none. Like, McGill's the closer, and I don't think you should be messing around with that personally. I know Murph has his reasoning. He stood by it and he said, calm, cool, and collected. I'd do it again. I'm like, all right. You're the manager. That's your choice. And I'm the radio guy that says, I didn't love it. And the Brewers lose a game on a bloop and a blast. And it felt like a playoff game that they should have won today. And hey, the Brewers could have hit a backspin fly ball to right field too, just like Ozzy Albies did twice today.
Yeah, you do the matchups too. And you look at the matchups. You got, if you're 100% healthy and you have Jerry Koenig that's healthy, you might do things a little bit differently. I just think here what they were looking from the beginning of the game. They thought if certain situations come up, I want to have Uribe in a certain situation facing certain guys. I don't want to have Harrison facing Riley and those guys at that time in the game, because they could have tied the ball game. Bringing Uribe in, I thought, was a great idea of bringing him in, even though they usually don't bring him in to face during an inning. I thought bringing Abner in there that time he did a great job. And then finishing with McGill with the way the order set there, I thought was a good job. I think you could possibly do things different if you're 100% healthy, and that's having Jared Koenig there. You can change things around a little bit, but I didn't mind the way they went about it. And I do like Aaron Ashby in that inning facing those. I thought when you look at Olson, had a great at-bat. You think about Key at-bats. Hit the ball on the end of the bat, got a base hit there, kind of got them in a situation where they could have got something going, and that's what happened. You get late in the ball games. You make good pitches, and bad things happen. I thought Aaron made some good pitches. He just didn't locate the ball real well against Albies.
Yeah, in hindsight, it's 20-20, but I still stand pat of saying I would have gone to Chad Patrick in the eighth or even Grant Anderson in the eighth, you know, knowing you're going to be facing a window of righties there. Dom Smith coming off the bench is what it is, but again, you have three righties there, and then if they get to the top of the order and they get to Drake Baldwin, then you can make the decision to have Ashby available as a just-in-case and then still hand the ball to Trevor McGill for the ninth inning. That's how I would have played it. Doesn't matter. I'm not the manager. So that's what happened today. The offense isn't totally absolved of guilt, but nonetheless, they faced Chris Sale today, too. This was an epic starting pitching matchup. We got to talk about that. Get off of the relief outing of the frustration of today's game. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Brewers fall 4-3 in walk-off fashion to the Braves. I'm Dom Catronio with Jerry Augustine. Thanks for joining us. A couple of texts. Tough loss today. This kind of feels like the offense has been in a rut the last few games. Pitching staff has done their job for the most part. They will get back to their winning ways. This is a great Brewers team against a usually equally great Braves team. This one from Kevin. I'm not worried after this game. Ozzie's first homer had a 150 expected batting average, meaning on the StatCast. And then the walk-off had an 090 expected batting average. Something I've been really impressed with is Pratt's mature at-bats and staying within himself, shooting the ball where it's pitched to him. The slug will come. This one from Mark. Lately, what's up with our pitching? 2 days in a row, giving up leads and finding creative ways to lose in today's game. Is the team out of challenges or not a reviewable play when the umpires don't know the definition of a check swing? Not reviewable, check swing, maybe one day. Also, I put a still up on Twitter. Augie, I don't think he went on the Albies check swing. I don't think he went. It looked uglier from the center field camera than it did from the first base side camera. I don't think he went. Didn't make a difference because the Brewers today, they had a one-run lead. They had opportunities to add insurance. They failed to do so, but I think Kyle Harrison, we need to make sure we shout him out today, too, to work into the seventh inning against this Braves lineup, only gave up two runs. Again, just like we're talking about last night with Miz. You go six innings, only allow two runs against the Braves, you're supposed to win those games. Kyle Harrison working into the seventh, only allowing two runs, you're supposed to win those games. And unfortunately, no dice for Kyle Harrison today.
Yeah, he just continues to go out and just locate the ball and using his pitches out. Using that four-seam fastball is a big pitch for him. He locates it in such good spots. He's able to elevate it and add a little velocity when he needs to. He's sinking the ball a little bit with his breaking ball and getting the ball over the plate. But you look at how he does, consistently going out, throwing strikes, don't give any free passes, no walks, 85 pitches in 6 1/3 innings. That's a pretty good pitch count to the innings pitch. I thought today he was just excellent. I thought he needed to go out pitching against Chris Hill. He couldn't give up much. He did exactly what he was needed to do, locating the ball, getting ahead of hitters. I thought today he did an outstanding job of pitching ahead in the count. And that's what you have to do when you're facing a good ball club like the Braves. You got to pitch ahead to these guys because they will take advantage if they get in good hitters count. So I thought he threw the ball excellent today.
You know, for Harrison, too, for him to just have this rebound and essentially erase the blip that was Las Vegas, his ERA is back down to a 2.50 right now. And today, you look at the top third of the order of what he did against Mauricio Dubon, Drake Baldwin, and Matt Olson. Against Harrison, they would have combined 0-for-9 in today's game, right? I mean, keeping the top of the order down. And I know Albies hit a solo homer, and then he scored the other run on the ground out by Austin Riley. I mean, that's another swinging doors moment that we didn't even mention, of that Uribe comes in, gets ahead of Austin Riley 1-2 and fails to put him away and allows him to hit a ground ball to score a run. I mean, look, Austin Riley's a struggling hitter right now, especially against righties. Uribe needed to pitch for the strikeout. I know they got the out and they got out of a second and third jam otherwise with just the one run scoring, but everything leads to the next. And to your point, Augie, about getting ahead of the Braves, they were once again being very aggressive against Kyle the second time through the order. You could literally see the strategy shift. The first time through, only one batter ambush out of the nine. The second time through, 6 of the 9 ambushed against Kyle Harrison because they knew he was throwing strikes, and he was still able to manage to get 7 strikeouts, and maybe the most impressive stat of all in today's game, 0 walks for Kyle Harrison today. I am just been enamored with what he's been able to do this season in a Brewers uniform.
Yeah, there's no question. I think you look at what he does. He consistently pitches ahead in the count. I like when he gets ahead of count. He's got that ability to make good pitches and then expand the strike zone. I think great pitchers expand the strike zone. And anytime you get ahead like he did today, you expand the strike zone, you throw strikes, you don't walk anybody, you're going to have a good outing. And, it's kind of a feather in his hat, too. When you're going up against a pitcher opposing you as Chris Sale, you know you can't give up much. You know you got to be at the top of your game. And I just thought the way he went about his job today was very confident, was very aggressive in the strike zone, made good pitches when he had to. When he needed to make a good pitch in a good part of the zone and expand it, he did that. I just thought he threw the ball very well.
I think that the way that the Brewers attacked Chris Sale today, too, is very similar in the fact that they understood they were going to get pitched tough, right? And look, Chris Sale's a future Hall of Famer, in my opinion, and he was dynamic. But that sixth inning, something clicked for the Brewers with one out. The single by Chirio, he hit the ball hard every time he came up to the plate today. Turan got lucky on a misplay by Ozzy Albies, and then Contreras lining a ball the other way. That was huge for him. He gets 2 hits today. The sack fly for Gary getting the job done. Then Andrew Vaughn, I thought that was if you want to talk about a manager mistake, how about the other side? Walt Weiss leaving the lefty Sale in for a third time against Andrew Vaughn, who's hitting nearly .500 against left-handed pitching this year, with a righty ready to go in the bullpen. Yes, it was only a bloop, but hey, it's a run score, and it's an RBI for the Brewers, and it ended up being what they were trying to hang on to for the rest of this game. But that was it. That can't be it against Didier Fuentes. And then Dylan Lee, the Brewers got one more insurance run in the seventh inning, but that was first and third with only one out, and they only got one run home. So little things add up, and just like we said last night, it felt like a playoff game. The bullpen leverage was used. The key arms were in this game. Runs were at a premium. But at the same time, the Brewers are finding out what they're made of and what their offense does against left-handed pitching.
Yeah, and they got a break. They got a break when Albies tried to get that double, tried to get the force out at second base with Chirio. That was a big break for the Brewers. They get an out there that changes the complexion, maybe how Sale pitches in that situation. I thought that was a big part of the game. And one thing that this ball club did, you got to look at one thing. If you look at a positive thing, the Braves made an error, an issue with Albies going to second base and having runners on first and second right there, having that ability to keep the inning going. That's where the inning they were able to score 2 runs. But that was the key, and it changes the way sometimes when you're pitching and you're facing a guy like Sale. Now he comes up, now he's got Contreras. He might pitch him a little bit different, but I thought we got a break there. I thought we got a break with that play. I think it helped us get the 2 runs. Vaughn comes up and does the job that he's done. He's just been fantastic hitting against left-hand pitching. So I thought we caught the break there. It would have been nice to get a couple more runs, but I thought we got a break there, and we took advantage of it, and I thought that was a positive thing for the Brewers today.
Yep. Who's Hot, Who's Cold is brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Wisconsin homeowners, if you're looking for a new cooling system, Sider can make it easy. You can get a virtual quote in under 10 minutes right from home with short and long-term financing options. Call or visit Sider.com today. That's Sider.com. Families helping families since 1912. So Kyle Harrison, a tough luck. No decision in this contest. He's still been tremendous for the Brewers, but let's try to find at least a singular silver lining aside from Kyle in a frustrating 4-3 loss to the Braves in walk-off fashion on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers fall today 4-3. It's June 20th, and I'm just going to I'll put it out there here, Jerry Augustine. I'm Dom Catronio. We've got a little bit of champagne problems going on right now. The team is 16 games above .500. They lose 2 one-run games against a very good playoff-bound Braves team that's leading its division as well. In fact, has the largest divisional lead in baseball at 48-27. Yeah, everybody wants the Brewers to have one of those buys if they manage to win the Central Division. And losing a series to the Braves is going to make things much more difficult. And yet, I'm sitting here looking, saying, okay, yesterday they did not play their best, and they still were within one run against the Braves. Today, they played much better until the final two batters of the game and then lost the contest. June, in my opinion, is about finding out what you got, right? Finding out what you're made of and what you need, okay? July is about finding out who you're going to be calling to get what you need, because they don't know if they're going to be in or out when it comes to trade deadline time. So the fact that it sounds cliche, but it's true to me, Augie, the calendar says June 20th. It is frustrating to lose a series to the Braves. This does not stamp the season as over. This does not stamp or title or scarlet letter this team into saying, oh, they can't win the big one. Like, it is June 20th. There's not even at the halfway point yet. You learn from it. Iron sharpens iron. Every cliche you can think of, shake it off. Try to salvage the finale tomorrow.
I agree with you. I think you just look at it. You're going, you're playing a really good baseball team. This was a good series. You knew it was going to be a good series. You're going to go into Atlanta, to their hometown. You're facing some pretty good pitching, and you're going to find out where you're at. But, you know, it all comes down to playing good in your division. And when you look at the next 20 days or 23 days, whatever it is, the teams that you play are all inside that division. You have to play well in your division in order to get somewhere. And I tell you what, the Brewers, the way they have their set up with the next to All-Star break, they're playing almost in the division the entire time. So you look at this series, this is a good tester series. It was a good series that the Brewers got to go into. Come out tomorrow, get a win, and then head into Cincinnati, and you go back, get back in that division. Got to play well in your division. There's no question. The division is so important. You don't play like they did several years ago with the change in the schedule. So you got to play well in your division. The next several days up until All-Star break, they're going to tell a good story of exactly where this ball club is.
I mean, to your point, the upcoming series to close out the first half, you get the Reds in Cincinnati midweek this week, home for the Cubs next weekend, home for the Reds next midweek, a four-game set with them. Then you go on the road to Arizona. That's a three-game set in the desert. And then you're back for five games in 4 days against the Cardinals in the division. And then you go to Pittsburgh to close out the first half. So you're right. After tomorrow, there's only one more series remaining of this first half that's not in the NL Central. So you got to find out what you're made of here really, really fast. And another note real quick, you know, I'm remembering back to last season, and I'm not saying the Brewers are about to bust off a team record 14-game winning streak, but you may recall the Brewers lost back-to-back series at home as part of their longest homestand of the year. Remember, they lost back-to-back series to San Diego and to Atlanta right about this time last year. It was June 11th when they lost that series. At that time, they were only three games above 500 and 5.5 games back still in the division. Now, again, that's where I'm talking about the champagne problems here. You found your litmus test here. Wasn't quite there. What can you get? What can you acquire? That's what you're going to find out over these next 45 days or so until the trade deadline. And the Brewers, quite frankly, had two great pitching performances. The offense just wasn't quite there against two tough lefties. Try to take out all that rage tomorrow against Bryce Elder.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You want to go off. You had two good outings, and you had two good games. I mean, you're playing against the best, and we knew going into this series that this was going to be a fun series, and we were going to be tested, and we stood right there with them. Didn't get the breaks that we needed, but we're right there with them. Tomorrow's a big game. Come back and win, and then like we just talked about, Dom, going inside that division, except for Arizona, is so important that you play well. Win series there, and you're sitting pretty good. So we got a fun 20-some days coming up before All-Star break, and those games are all the games are going to be important. Each series is going to be important. It'll show where the Brewers are.
All right. Well, they'll try to get one more tomorrow at 12:35 for some Father's Day action, and you'll be with us once again. Augie, appreciate you as always, and bring a win with you tomorrow, all right?
It's always fun to win. But we got, you got Gasser coming. He had a really nice outing last game. He threw the ball very well. That's probably one of the better outings I saw him pitch. He needs another backup performance like he had last time, and the Brewers will be in a good spot.
I agree. Jerry Augustine joining us on 620 WTMJ. Thanks, Augie.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Buy or sell. Do you buy that? Do you buy the fact that I think that these are a little bit of champagne problems right now, that the Brewers, yes, they lose back-to-back one-run games. They've lost three in a row. But, hey, I think it's still time to figure out and solve these problems the Brewers are going through. Buy or sell is brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, empowered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WendorfTeam.kw.com. Let me get to some texts and some chats. 855-616-1620. We're going to the top of the hour right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
We'll hear from Murph after the break. We'll get some highlights to play as well, but for now, let's get to our player of the game. It's brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive in a summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit IAMilwaukee.com. International Autos Group, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. Easily, it's Harrison. Seven punch, no walks, six and a third, and a quality start, only allowing two earned runs. How about this stat for the Braves today? 0 for 2 with runners in scoring position after going 1 for 6 yesterday. Again, there is no better play in baseball than the home run ball. Okay? There is no better play in baseball than the home run ball. The Brewers didn't have an extra base hit today. And again, I know they faced Chris Sale. I know that makes things very difficult. But they had some hard contact. I'm not trying to sit here and say, oh, we've snapped my fingers and they're going to hit homers. That's just not quite how they're built. But again, you look at the difference of this game. Ozzie Albies backspins a couple to right field. We can call them cheapies all we want. They went over the wall. All right? They went over the wall. There's nothing stopping the Brewers from elevating a baseball too. Okay? So it is what it is. Couple of texts here. This one, George from Pewaukee. Regardless of what happened today, I'm tired of seeing Frelick and Bowers on the bench getting only one or two at-bats. Wow, okay. Well, Bowers has been playing a lot lately. Granted, he's in a slump right now. I believe he's two for his last 22 right now. And seeing our three worst hitters, Ortiz, Perkins, and Sanchez in the lineup. Easy explanation on that, George. They faced a lefty today. Perkins is much better from the right side than he is the left side. Ortiz, much better against lefties than he is against righties. Hamilton, much worse against lefties than he is against righties. I think you can understand that pretty simply there. And Frelick's really had a brutal year against lefties. It's not been the same for him in any capacity, and you've got enough of a sample size here, 65, 70 games into the year. It's like, all right, well, the best players play more. It's that simple to me. Hindsight's 20-20, but I would have put Uribe back out for the eighth and then McGill for the ninth from Chef Ed. And then come playoff time, I'm confident in Miz and Harrison, but then who's the third guy? Is it Woody? And I think it is Woody. And you could argue, go get Scooble. And we're going to hear that until the Tigers hang on to him on August 3rd and be like, yeah, we still feel like we can make these playoffs, because the American League is so bad, you guys. I have to keep saying this over and over and over again. The Brewers are not going to overpay for Tarek Skubal. They're not going to jump the line to go get Tarek Skubal as they're currently constructed. If you have a major injury, if you have something go down, knock on all the wood near you, maybe they consider it. But again, the Brewers three, in my opinion, are exactly that. Miz, Harrison, Woodruff. And then perhaps for a fourth, it's a bullpen game of some combination of Drouin, Gasser, Patrick, whatever it may be. Okay? Playoff time is still a long ways away to figure out what could happen in that regard. This one, Alex from Oshkosh. Hated when McGill was removed. Should we call up Jet Williams and Tyson Harden before the trade deadline? You know, I tell you what. Neither one of them are on the 40-man roster right now, but I think if the Brewers need another spot starter, where if somebody else goes down on the injury list, remember Logan Henderson's on the IL, Coleman Crowe's on the IL right now. If somebody else goes down, Tyson's the next one up. I think that's become very clear in case you missed it. Tyson Harden has pitched very well. He's one of their most experienced. They kind of lack pitching at the top level right now in the minor leagues, given Coleman Crowe and Logan Henderson are injured and Robert Gasser has been on a bit of a yo-yo. The 4.60 ERA is misleading for him across AAA, across both levels this year, between AA and AAA this season. He has a 1.89 ERA in AAA. Ironic that he's pitching much better since getting promoted as a 24-year-old. League average ground ball rate, strikeout rate's right about 28, 31%, somewhere in there. He had some bad batted ball luck against him. down in Biloxi. But yes, keep an eye on Tyson Harden. He could be the next guy that the Brewers call upon. Great command, somebody that the Brewers are going to lean on at some point this season. This one, I'm afraid this will happen in the playoffs too. Five runs does not do the trick against good teams. No, five runs does do the trick against good teams. Five runs would have won today's game, right? Four runs is really the magic number. Across Major League Baseball, you get to four runs, you're winning 75% of your games, point blank period, regardless of what the other team does. So four runs is the magic number, especially in the playoffs. We'll hear from Murph. Let's get to him coming up on the other side of the break as the Brewers fall 4-3 in walk-off fashion on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Freddy Herzog said the quote years ago, "A manager is really only judged by his bullpen. When you have a good bullpen, hey, he's a great manager. When you have a bad bullpen, oh, God, terrible moves." I'm not saying the Brewers have a bad bullpen, but that's kind of what the Brewers are going through right now. You can question decisions when guys don't execute. But that's baseball, Susan. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. The Brewers are on an L3 as things stand right now. Let's hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, after today's 4-3 defeat to the Brewers.
You know, I trust Ash, and I love Ash, and he's done great for us. It's unfortunate. It's a blue pit and a fly ball at 94 at 37. You got to give the kid credit. I think we catch it normally, but that doesn't matter. That's what the game was being. We had those same opportunities to do that. So hats off to the Braves. They did a great job. They're playing great. They're these last two games, I mean, they're like playoff games. It was fantastic. We did a lot of great things today. Contreras was incredible. Churio hit the ball hard. You know, we had some great at-bats. Pratt, you know, some great stuff today. So Harrison was great. Uribe and McGill were great. Yeah, it comes down to very small things, and it's painful. I told the guys today, you know, there's going to be pain in our season. And these two losses, there's pain. But, yeah, we played well. And, yeah, if that's one of the best teams in the league, then we're, you know, to get Sale out of there, if not the best pitcher in the league, certainly one of them. And, yeah, to get him out of there in a game like this was a great accomplishment. But, you know, we'll learn a lot from this.
Sorry to cut you off. I was going to ask about how you guys did, how you felt you did against Sale, getting him out of there in the sixth inning, and
nobody does well against Sale. You know what I mean? You just try to get him out of there, and I thought our guys battled. You'd like to have some ABs back, but yeah, he's very good. You know, he's throwing the ball 98, 99 in on your hands with movement. He was fantastic. So. Hats off to him, the whole Braves. They used their 27 outs a little bit better than us.
When you're working backwards and trying to figure out how to follow Harrison with the pen, how did you decide today to go Uribe and McGill early and Ashby?
It was very simple. It was who they had coming up. The matchups was simple. Who else would you want to face Baldwin, Olsen, and Albies in our pen? That's all there's to it. If they would have came up in the seventh, Ashby would have came in the seventh.
How about Harrison today? How did you think? That's two in a row now since Vegas that have been very Harrison-like.
Yeah, he's been great. He was fabulous today against a really good, hot team, feeling good about themselves, and yeah, he pitched great.
Yeah, I mean, back-to-back quality starts at the Brewers lose. Frustrating, but hey, shake it off. Move on. I'm not trying to be relentlessly optimistic, but the truth is the Brewers played great for 24 outs today. Got to get the last three, and they didn't do so today. But let's get you caught to speed in case you missed any of it. Get you the highlight recap on the other side of the break on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho, ho, ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Brewers and Braves, game two in a great pitching matchup. Chris Sale against Kyle Harrison. The lefties were in control early in this contest, the middle game of a three-game set. In fact, Kyle Harrison was zooming through the
wind up the 2-2. Got him looking right down Broadway. 96 miles an hour, bat on the shoulder. They challenge it. It was right in at the knees. That's a bad challenge, Jorge Mateo. It's coming up on the video board now. Pow!
Yep, he gone. 9 up, 9 down. In fact, it was 12 up and 12 down for Kyle Harrison to start the game. And then Ozzie Albies, the first of two wall scrapers.
And the 0-2 pitch. This is a fly ball to right. Hit pretty well. Perkins is back at the track, at the wall, and it is gone. Well, 12 up, 12 down, and now the Braves with a 1-0 lead.
Again, to reiterate, that ball was hit just 97 miles an hour off the bat with a very high launch angle, but he would say, hold my beer, later on in this game. So the Brewers down 1-0, and they would avoid the shutdown inning against Chris Sale. He had only allowed two hits entering the sixth inning. Then with one out, a rally began, a single by Churio. A fielder's choice for Turang that's currently being ruled an error. That should not be an error. But nonetheless, a misplay by Ozzie Albies. It's runners on first and second with only one out. William Contreras lined a single into right field, and at that time, Eli White was still in the game. They did not test his arm again like they did last night. So with the bases loaded, El Gary to the plate.
Sales 1-1 pitch. And Sanchez, a fly ball into right. Not terribly deep, but could be deep enough. White gets behind it, makes the catch. Down the line is Churio. Here's the throw. It's not going to be in time. Brewers tie it up on a sack fly off the bat of Gary Sanchez. It is a 1-1 ball game.
So that was the second out of the inning to tie things up. Now the decision for Walt Weiss. Do you go to the righty ready in the bullpen for the righty Andrew Vaughn, or do you keep Chris Sale, the lefty, out there for Vaughn? Well, big mistake.
Sale brings home the pitch. And Vaughn, a fly ball into center, racing in is Harris. It's dying quickly. Harris won't get there. It drops in front of him. Turang will score from third. Going first to third is Contreras. And the Brewers have a 2-1 lead on the bloop RBI single off the bat of Andrew Vaughn.
Then an opportunity came in the seventh inning with men on second and third after a brilliant hit and run from Cooper Pratt and Joey Ortiz. Jackson Churio just put the ball in play, and it was a heck of a play by
Fuentes,
Riley.
Fuentes, 2-2. Line drive. Oh, what a pick at third on a short hop by Riley, but he's got only one play. It's at first, and the run scores. Riley did not catch it cleanly, says the umpire. Riley points into his dugout and says, check it, because if I caught that on the line, it's a different story. But as it stands, it's called a one hop, and the Brewers get a run in from third. Pratt scores. It's 3-1.
3-1, you're feeling pretty good at that point. And the Braves, though, they would score in the bottom of the seventh inning on an RBI ground out of their own from Riley. After McGill had the eighth inning in 1-2-3 fashion against 8-9-1 in the order, with one out, they go to Aaron Ashby in the ninth inning, a bloop for Matt Olson, and the blast from Albies.
And the pitch. Fly ball, right field. Frelick back into the corner, looking up, and it is gone. Ozzie Albies hits his second home run of this game. It's a two-run home run, and Atlanta walks off the Brewers here this afternoon at Truist Park. Your final score, Atlanta 4 and Milwaukee 3.
Again, 94 off the bat, 36-degree launch angle, 339 feet. Now, it caught a jet stream. It caught some wind. That happens at many ballparks around the country. It happens. It's baseball. But it had an XBA of 090. Okay, it's baseball. Shake it off and move on. Brewers fall today by a 4-3 final score, the fourth career walk-off homer for Ozzie Albies. So the Braves have won the series. Let's preview the finale next on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
All right, last couple minutes of the show here. Tomorrow, happy Father's Day. It will be a 12:35 first pitch. No Brewers warm-up, but we do have the on-deck show starting at noon as the Brewers try to salvage the finale, try to avoid a four-game losing streak. They will send Robert Gasser, the lefty, to the mound, going up against the righty Bryce Elder, who's been a bit of a revelation this season for the Atlanta Braves, given the fact that you know he's been up and down the last couple of seasons. They didn't quite know what they had, but he completely reworked his slider and has become very effective with a 3.15 ERA and 15 starts this season. He's not going to strike out the world. He wants you to put the ball in play. He gets ground ball outs. And, well, see what the Brewers can do against him before they hit the road to Cincinnati. As then on Monday, the Brewers have currently listed TBA to start that game, which is code for Brandon Woodruff, because there needs to be a corresponding roster move before Monday's game. Then on Tuesday, it'll be Brandon Sproat, and then on Wednesday, it'll be Shane Drouin. Off day Thursday, the last off day of the first half, and then Jacob Mizorowski on Friday against the Cubs back at home on the homestand. Now, tomorrow, again, 12:35 first pitch as we take a quick lap on the out-of-town scoreboard here to get ready to say so long in this one. The Brewers got some love, though, from the Blue Jays today, coming back to beat the Cubs by an 8-6 final score, a 5-run eighth inning, blowing up against the Cubs bullpen. Kazuma Okamoto with a 3-run shot to blow that game open at the time. Rare off day in the middle of a series in Kansas City between St. Louis and the Royals because of the World Cup game across the street there at Arrowhead Stadium. So they will resume that series tomorrow. Also in the division today, the Reds beat up on the Yankees by a 10-2 final score in the Bronx. And finally, Pittsburgh plays out west tonight. That game doesn't begin for another hour, as it is Rockies and Pirates. Paul Skeens getting the altitude treatment against Tomoyuki Sugano for the Rockies. So Pittsburgh trying to stay at or above 500. They're at 38-38. As you're starting to get a clearer and clearer picture of how things are starting to look in the National League. The Brewers are still 5 games up on St. Louis, but remember, they've got 5 games in 4 days coming up right before the All-Star break. And then you don't see St. Louis again until the final series of the season. So that'll be very important moving forward next week or in 2 weeks' time. That is going to do it for our show here this afternoon. We will talk to you tomorrow for a Father's Day edition of Brewers Extra Innings. For our producer, Evan Witalison, I'm Dom Cotroneo. Keep on swinging.